So first off, thanks for sitting down with PNC at the San Francisco summer meeting.
Great to be with you.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to start off talking a bit about your experience, actually more so on a local level, being mayor of San Antonio. And I think to some extent being in local government gives you a special connection to, you know, how policy impacts people. So I was curious how that informed your campaign, or you know, how that changed your policy platforms, and how you brought that mindset to a national campaign.
The thing about local government is that it's closest to the people. You know, I came up running for city council and then for mayor, hearing the everyday concerns about things as simple as drainage or streets, and also zoning and job opportunities in the city. So it runs the gamut, but it's very close to the people. And the thing that I got out of it most is an understanding about how all of these things are connected. I remember a meeting that I had, budget meeting in a neighborhood, and right after the meeting, a woman came up to me and asked whether I would support putting sidewalks on her mother's street in the neighborhood, because she said that her mother had just been diagnosed with diabetes. She was an elderly woman, and the doctor recommended that she walk around the neighborhood to help her circulation. But the woman who was talking to me, the daughter, said that her mom couldn't walk around the neighborhood because there were no sidewalks. And for me, it was the first time that the light bulb went off as a young policymaker of how all of these things are connected. In this case, something as simple as infrastructure like sidewalks with somebody's health, with safety, with the overall quality of life in a neighborhood. Same thing when we talk about education and job opportunity, housing, transit, community safety. I think what I've gotten most is this sense of how all of these things are connected. And it gives me great insight, I think, into, you know, it's not a 30,000 foot view, it's a view from how people are living it.
Right. Now, I mean, there's so many national and world issues to cover, but and you were talking a little bit about housing before, and I think that's so relevant to this area, not only the Bay Area, but up north, Sonoma County, Santa Rosa area, that we had the housing crunch before and then had the hit by the fires. It only exacerbates it and makes it worse. A lot of that is local, but the federal government can play a role in sort of helping that along. What do you see the role of the presidency in something like housing?
We have a tremendous role to play. HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development that I was secretary of, was created in 1965. And so, you know, for more than 50 years now, the federal government has already had a significant role in ensuring there's housing opportunity out there. But unfortunately, we've gone backward in the last few years. And the needs out there are tremendous. We have a rental affordability crisis in this country, and there's no better example of that than this Bay Area, whether you're talking about San Francisco or Oakland or other parts of the Bay. I've proposed what I call my People First housing plan that would invest in more housing opportunity, basically more units, 3 million more units for middle-class individuals, working poor, and people who are poor, because too many families are having to spend 40 or 50 or 60% of their income on rent, and even more here in San Francisco. So we have a robust role to play in sparking greater housing opportunity.
Now, being from Texas, you've the immigration issue on your doorstep, basically. You've rolled out a lot of policy plans, and I think there's a lot of difference in your plan from some of the other candidates as well. I mean, it's for such a complex issue. What do you see as the path forward on immigration?
As I see it, we need a plan for immigration that maintains border security, but chooses common sense and compassion over cruelty. This president has chosen cruelty. How hard can I make it on these folks? Separating families, having these little kids sleeping on cold floors, Mylar blankets with no soap and no toothbrush, this decision not to vaccinate them with the flu vaccine. I believe that instead we need to keep families together, that we need to work as hard as we can to find the relatives who often live in the United States of people who are here as unaccompanied minors. I have said that undocumented immigrants who have not committed a serious crime in the country should be put on a pathway to citizenship, and that we should do two other things, that we should fix the broken legal immigration system, because our legal immigration system is broken. I mean, it can take 20 years for somebody to fully become a citizen. Shouldn't take that long. And we need to get to the root cause of this challenge. A couple months ago, we had 144,000 people come to our southern border, mostly from these Northern Triangle countries, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. I've called for a 21st century Marshall Plan to partner with these countries so that people can find safety and opportunity at home instead of having to come to the United States.
Now, some of the policy plans you've released have been areas that you don't necessarily hear about in debates or you know, don't come up on the campaign trail a lot. One of those being the animal welfare policy. You had to do got a lot of attention for that last week. Where did the impetus for that come from, and what are you hoping to achieve with that?
You know, that was actually mine. I had this experience when I was mayor of San Antonio of helping to lead an effort for San Antonio's shelter to become a no-kill shelter, which basically means that you, of the animals who end up in the shelter, at least 90% are saved and not euthanized, because San Antonio used to be one of the worst cities for euthanizing cats and dogs. I mean, we had a rate of euthanization at one time that was, I think, worse than Los Angeles. And I determined that we were going to, you know, become a no-kill city. And we were able eventually to accomplish that. I just see out there that today, in so many ways, we can do better about making sure that that animals are protected, whether it's cats and dogs in communities, instead of euthanizing them, finding them a healthy, loving home. Also, our wildlife. I believe that we should strengthen the Endangered Species Act. And the thing is, I brought this up because Trump has been the worst president when it comes to protecting animals. I'll give you just a quick example of that. Puppy mills. Used to be in the Obama administration that, you know, these puppy mills, they get inspected by federal regulators. Do that anymore. Trump basically made that, you know, he anonymized it. So you have less transparency and people end up doing more of what they want and abusing animals. And so whether it's that or it allowing the importation of the big game trophies, which I would prohibit again, I would outlaw again. Time after time, this president has been terrible for animals and allowed more animals to be treated with cruelty. And, you know, I believe that we should go in the other direction. And sometimes people will ask me, well, you know, why are you talking about animals? Well, what about people? And I tell them, hey, look, I've released a plan on housing, on education. I've talked about improving healthcare. We're talking about making sure that people do better. But I also think it's long past time that in this country we also make sure that we take care of animals a lot better, too.
Secretary Guerrero Castro, thanks for sitting down. We'll see you down the road.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.